We got a lot of football to talk about today. There's still a lot of fallout from what the 49ers did to the Cowboys Sunday. But before we get to that, Whitey Gleese and Kyle Draper, I get the sense, Kyle, that you have, and I'm with you, you have some things you got to get off your chest about this. NBA.com. NBA General Manager Survey for 2023-24.
Yeah, they always seem to get it wrong, you know, and I look for it every year. It's great sports talk radio content. But, you know, the level of disrespect that our Sacramento Kings get, I mean, you know, this team snapped the streak, snapped the drought last year, was the best story in the entire NBA. We had two All-NBA performers. We had a coach of the year in Mike Brown. We had an executive of the year. We had Keegan Murray first team all rookie. And yet the squad is disrespected. And so we'll get into that, obviously. And I'm going to dive into it a little more here. But, you know, all the big, you know, categories, best defender, best guard, best point guard.
Best like move in just the offseason.
Yeah, best move. Like, none of it. No, we're not mentioned at all. And so I'm a little disappointed in that, but not surprised because, once again, the Kings are being disrespected.
Yeah, if you go down, scroll down to the miscellaneous categories, then some Kings right. things start popping up.
They threw you a bone or two, like, you know, yeah. in the miscellaneous category, yeah. right?
Yeah, Mike Brown especially, to me, is disrespected in this GM survey. If you've had a chance to look it over, you want to weigh in, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. If you haven't, no worry, we got you covered. But all callers come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's just start with this. Western Conference rankings, according to the GMs in the NBA. And let's see, Denver, 70% of the first-place vote. So they have Denver first in the West this year. GMs say Phoenix second, then the Lakers, then the Warriors fourth, then the Clippers. Then Memphis, sixth. And you got tied for seventh in the West, the New Orleans Pelicans and the Sacramento Kings. The scary thing to me there, Kyle, is that's the second time in 2 weeks because Kevin Pelton had his rankings. Was that last week?
Yeah, last week we did
and
that.
And he had Sacramento seventh as well. So that's a little disconcerting because that's two, supposedly people that know what they're talking about. This is a lot of people, the GMs. Two polls that have the Kings right there in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, and what diving deeper into that list you just mentioned, 3% of those polled think the Pelicans can finish second in the Western Conference. You know, and the Kings, 0% think they could finish second. You know, the highest that people have the Sacramento Kings is fourth, 13%. And so that's what I'm saying. You know, what has Golden State done this offseason that really makes us think, you know what, they're, you know, much better. It's going to be much different for them this season. What have we seen from the Clippers? I feel like the Clippers, year in and year out, they are, you know, watch out for the Clippers this year. But I'm done playing Boo Boo the Fool. That's not me anymore. The Clippers are who they've been the last 3 or 4 years with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. They're a very good team, but they always underachieve. And so I go back to what I said last week. Why are these other teams being given the benefit of the doubt and the Sacramento Kings aren't? Why all of a sudden do we think Zion's going to be magically healthy all season long and that they can finish second in the Western Conference? Why do we think the Warriors are going to be great on the road and are going to stay healthy even though their core is all 33 and above? Why do we think that they're going to be healthy and not going to miss player games? And so that's what frustrates me about these surveys and these kind of topics here. It's like, other teams get the benefit of the doubt, but yet when it's talked about the Sacramento Kings, we look at reasons why they won't be as good as they were last season.
The beauty of it is, from the standpoint of a Kings fan, we know it doesn't matter because last year, if you go back and check the GM survey from last year, none of them had any idea the Kings were going to be as good as they were. However, here's where I think Mike Brown, Coach of the Year, deserves a little more respect here. Coaches, who is the best head coach in the NBA? Eric Spoelstra, 73%. Tyronn Lue, Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, Michael Malone. And then which head coach is the best manager, motivator of people? Spoelstra, Kerr, Lue, Popovich. Also receiving votes, Dagnalt, Jamal Mosley, Monty Williams. Just no mention of...
No mention of Mike Brown.
Yeah, who's obviously an excellent head coach. Which head coach makes the best in-game adjustments? Spoelstra, Lue, Carlisle, Nurse. And we didn't even have any votes for Mike Brown, who does get Number one ranking here, which head coach runs the best offense? Mike Brown. And as we were saying earlier, that's almost a backhanded compliment for him because he's a defense
first
coach.
Yeah, he's a defensive coach, right? And then you look which head coach has the best defensive schemes. You know, he's in the also receiving votes category. And the one that really, you know, upsets me is what head coach is the best manager, motivator of people? That shows me, with Mike Brown not even being mentioned, that shows me the GMs really aren't paying attention. Because you talk to anybody in the league, and I talked to an assistant coach, you know, about Mike Brown during the season. And one thing that he told me is that Mike Brown is a motivator. Whether you're the first guy or the 13th, 14th, or 15th guy on the bench, that's what makes him so great, because he touches everybody. And so not to even be mentioned as a best manager, motivator of people, I mean, it's like these GMs aren't paying attention. This almost seems like it would be a media survey or something.
Exactly.
Like some, you know, yeah, this doesn't seem like the people in the know, the basketball experts, the GMs would do something like this. Seems like a media kind of poll.
If Steven Ruiz comes out with this,
you know
what he's talking about. GMs are supposed to know what they're talking about. They're paid to know what's going on. You scroll down to miscellaneous. Which team is the most fun to watch? Denver's first, Warriors second, Kings third. Which team has the best home court advantage? The Kings are third there, even though last year we all know they didn't have home court advantage. I mean, that's nice and everything, but you watch the games, you go to your team's games. The most efficient offense this season, Sacramento ranking second to Denver. So you do have a few mentions for the Kings in there. Which player is the fastest with the ball? De'Aaron Fox. And that's about it for Kings mentions. Again, who cares, except you'd think general managers would have a clearer idea of what's actually going on the floor.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I could argue, you know, most of these are copy and pasted from last season. You know, it's it's like, have you watched the games? Have you seen what's happening here in Sacramento? You know, you talk about, you know, which team has the best home court advantage. I think the crowd is great. I think the Kings fan base is great. But if I'm correct, we lost, what, two playoff games at home. We didn't have that great of a home record last season.
No.
We had some bad losses at home. You know, which team is the most fun to watch? Is Denver really fun to watch? Like, really, are they fun to watch? I know Jokic is great, but
I don't think they're
fun to watch.
I don't think so either. And so, I love Jokic.
Yeah. And so I just, you know what? It's that time of the year. Lists come out. Surveys come out. We need content. Thankful that it came out today. But they got a number of these wrong. You know, one of the ones I mentioned earlier in the crossover. How is Davion Mitchell not even mentioned as, you know, one of the best on-ball defenders, one of the best perimeter defenders? He's not even getting votes or anything like that. And, mm-hmm. and I, you know, I'm looking at the list right now. Drew Holiday, Mikal Bridges, Caruso, Smart, Kawhi Leonard. I think Kawhi's living off reputation a little bit, right? I mean, I'm not sure if Kawhi's locking anybody down anymore. Jimmy Butler, Lou Dort. They even got Jason Tatum, who's a good defender, but it shows me that there's some bias, you know. Look at the names being mentioned. Drew, Bridges, you know. These are established guys who start. Alex Caruso is a little surprising, but he has that reputation. He has the Lakers from before, you know, having played with them before, that cachet and in Chicago now. But no Davion Mitchell. There's a reason why, let's call it what it is, Sacramento Kings fans. There's a reason why Steph Curry went off for 50. Obviously, he's a great player, but I would have liked to see Davion a little more than 8 minutes in that game seven, you know? I thought Davion did a hell of a job against Steph Curry that series, and then didn't see him as that much in game seven.
I think you've captured the essence of a lot of this GM survey at NBA.com, and a lot of it is GMs just looking at it as, well, this is what I saw last year. But you do have this question. This is the one that, if any of this irked me, it was which player is most likely to have a breakout season in 23-24? Because it requires them to think and look ahead.
Look ahead.
A little bit. Number one, Anthony Edwards. Cade Cunningham is second. I get that. Third is Franz Wagner. I'm a big Franz Wagner guy.
Yeah, I like Franz.
Paolo is fourth. Well, he's actually tied with Tyrese Maxey. All right. Others receiving votes, Desmond Bane, Mikal Bridges, Tyrese Halliburton, Chet Holmgren. Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton, bust out year.
Yeah.
Holmgren, Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving, right?
Jaden McDaniels, Evan Mobley, Şengün. I like Şengün. Zion Williamson.
It's a joke.
There's no mention there even. There's not even a receiving a vote for Keegan Murray. Somebody's just not paying attention.
They're not paying attention, and it is not somebody. It's a number of people.
Yeah.
Because how does Anthony Edwards get number one when he was an all-star last season? He was on Team USA. Well, like, you know, we said in the crossover with Zachariah, you know, he's going to turn into Jordan next week or something? Is that the kind of breakout we're looking for Anthony Edwards? And so Cade Cunningham, I get it, coming back from injury. Franz, everybody else, I get it. But then you start going down to the others receiving votes. Tyrese, what more can Tyrese do? Is he going to be a 30-point-per-game guy? Like, he had the breakout season. That was this past season.
Yes.
Why is Kyrie Irving on this? Like, what's Kyrie going to do to break out? Oh, man, I didn't see that coming. Kyrie had a great season. And so Zion Williamson, we know Zion is great when he plays, when he's healthy. The health has been the biggest issue, so he doesn't need to break out. This guy would average 27, 28 points per game when he's healthy. And so you get me worked up.
Wyatt. I know.
I'll tell you, we got 4 hours, man.
I'll tell you who should be higher on that list after what we saw last night. He received votes. Chet Holmgren.
Yes.
You watched Chet Holmgren and Wemby last night.
Yeah, yeah.
He looked good.
He looked great. And, you know, he has a little nasty streak to him, his ability to get to the line. You know, I was thinking when I was watching those two guys, we're watching two of the biggest stars. And in like 3, 4, 5 years, both those guys, we're going to be talking about multiple all-stars, looking into the future. And, they didn't guard each other a whole lot in that game last night, but what their skill set is at 7'3 and 7'4, whatever they are, what their skill set is, the ability to put the ball on the deck, finish around the rim, and shoot the three. I mean, come on, man. Mm-hmm. Come on. These guys are unicorns, and there's two of them right now.
Which team will be the most improved in 2023-24? Number one answer, according to NBA GMs, 30% say Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, I know I've been telling you that team's going to be improved, but the GMs did such a bad job of this.
Right.
I don't know if that really helps my case at all.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, oh, man, Whitey, they might finish out of the playoffs based on these GMs. They have all the pieces, right? They have the tools. They got young players, and that's their only hiccup, right, is that they're young right now. They have a superstar, I think, is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They have, you know, in my opinion, the likely rookie of the year in Chet Holmgren as well. You know, the Jalen Williams, Jalen with an E and Jalen with an I.
6'8", Josh Giddey.
Yes, both those guys are great, you know, and then Josh Giddey, like you mentioned. I mean, so they have all the pieces. And I do like Mark Daigneault, their head coach. I think he's a good head coach. He is a good motivator of people. And so, no, they're going to be a team to watch, man. But the West, man, you can go 9 or 10 deep easily in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think watching the Spurs,
yeah.
I mean, they could be competitive this year. They're playing now like they know they can be. Last year, you could tell that it was like, it's kind of like an open gym, guys. We're working on some things for next year. But now you can, Zach Collins looks like he's all business. Keldon Johnson, he didn't even play last night.
Right.
I think they're going to be a team by midseason. I think they're going to be a pretty good team.
And you bring up a good point. You said midseason. If I'm correct, the Kings' first time seeing them is what? February? I think we got a matchup. Wimby comes in February to Sacramento. And so by that time, you got to imagine that they're going to be like, you know, a much more complete team than they are those first few games of the season.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll revisit this, but I just wanted to make sure we had a chance to kind of vent a little bit on this.
Yeah.
You feel a little better anyway?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm high now. Now we're going to talk football, and I want to vent about that too. So
right.
I got 4 hours of Drapes venting here. I'm excited. Let's go.
When we come right back, Micah Parsons is mad about George Kittle's T-shirt, and Jerry Jones still says Dak Prescott doesn't suck. We're right back with that here. Drive, guys. Sacktown Sports. Thanks for being with us. Kyle Draper, Kevin Whitey Gleason. We appreciate your feedback here. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. On the chat, great point here from Cole G. We were just talking about the GM survey today. It came out. NBA GMs released a survey at NBA.com. We'll circle back to that. But Cole G says lists are all about reputation because of laziness. And don't forget, agents. Blame it on the agents.
agents do have a tremendous amount of influence in the NBA. You know, relationships between agents and GMs, relationships between agents and media members. You know, most of the stuff you hear leaked out is coming from agents. It's not coming from GMs or any. A lot of agents leak stuff out, but that's a good Cole G. All right, that was a good one. That was a good one. No, I'm fired up though, man. You know, it's list season, obviously, and we'll get to ESPN's top 100 coming up a little later because I got some thoughts on that as well.
Well, you're not going to like this, but I'm just giving you a warning, fair warning. I have today, I'll hang on to it for a little bit. I have found absolute proof that Brock Purdy is more than the Uber driver that some make him out to be. I found proof of it.
10-2.
Getting ready for the show today. It's like, well, there it is.
Proof.
It is undeniable. So we have that coming up today. I'll hang on to that a little bit here. I know we had a very lively discussion about that yesterday. But, you know, the Cowboys are still talking and the Cowboys now are backs against the wall. So Jerry Jones on his radio show says, well, Dak's our guy. He's going to take us. He can take us where we need to go. And everyone's wondering what happened to Dak. And now you've got also Micah Parsons is upset about George Kittle's T-shirt, which was a reference to something Gary Plummer wore in 1994, the bleep Dallas T-shirt that Kittle had on underneath his jersey. Mm. So Micah Parsons heard about that, and he said, hey, he's made it personal. We'll have a little something for him next time. And then Debo heard about that, and Debo says, they don't want a rematch. It could be worse. So there's still a lot of back and forth a couple days after that game.
And I love it. And I hope we do get to see a rematch. We get to see these two teams going at it. You know, Parsons said George Kittle is his guy, but he's making it way more personal than it had to be. Laugh now, cry later was the quote. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for a team that got whooped up, mollywopped, whatever you want to call it, like Dallas did, you know, this would probably be the week I would just lay low. Keep quiet.
Yes.
You know, not talk trash. I mean, you had your chance, Micah Parsons. You had your chance to do your talking during the game, and you let Kittle go for 3 touchdowns. You let Brock Purdy look like Joe Montana. You let, you know, Debo and all these other guys, and your offense didn't do anything as well. And so it's kind of sour grapes, and I would feel upset if somebody wore that kind of T-shirt, but I don't have room to talk. I should have did my talking on the football field.
Absolutely right. You know? I agree with that. I could understand how upset they are. But they look desperate right now. Mm. When you get beaten like that, if somebody gives you that chance to be extra motivated next time, well, you take that and you keep it inside, right? And the next time it comes around, you remember that. But to go public with it like, oh, well, now he made it personal. You watch what happens next time. It's laughable. And then Debo took advantage of that. Debo said, it was already personal before the game started.
Right.
Right?
It's Cowboys Niners, right?
Yes.
It should have been personal. Yeah.
He said, 42-10, I don't think you want to see us again. It might be a little worse. And so the Cowboys just opened themselves up for that. I will say Dan Quinn said the right thing, the D coordinator. He said, yeah, you get kicked like that in the behind. That's no finger pointing. Everything's pointing in the right direction. We got to make it better. He said, we're going to make sure that we don't lose 2 games in that one night, meaning they think they got to, you know, make sure they got everything in order for the Chargers this week. But I'll tell you what, their schedule's not that easy. I don't even know if the Cowboys are going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule right now that you bring it up. At the Chargers, home against the Rams, at the Eagles. Then you got Giants, Panthers, Commanders. So it lightens up after that. But then you got Seahawks, Eagles, Bills, Dolphins, Lions.
Yes.
Think about that.
Yeah. If you give them, they have the Commanders in there twice. Yeah. They have the Giants and they have the Rams and they have the Panthers. If you give them those, that's 5 more wins. So that would give them 8. And they probably, they
Eight's
may not,
not
going to
get it done.
No.
8's not going
to
get it done.
So they're going to have to beat some of those really good teams to have a chance at reaching the postseason.
You know, one thing you mentioned yesterday, and it'll be interesting to see going forward, are the Cowboys broken? Did the Niners break the Cowboys? How will they respond this week against the Chargers? Because they were exposed big time, you know? And I got to imagine, you know, they may talk bravado and outwardly have that, but there has to be some doubt in what they're doing right now, whether it's a doubt in you know, the coach, Mike McCarthy, you know, belief in him, trust in him. Are you going to follow him? Some doubt with your quarterback. Doubt how good this defense it really is. You know, I said it before. You know, the defense was number one in scoring coming into the game, but they hadn't played anybody. They ran up against a Super Bowl contender, and that defense got shredded like, you know, cheese, Swiss cheese right there.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of doubt, I think, in Dallas right now. And so Micah Parsons, him coming out talking about George Kittle, to me, that shows me that, you know what, the Niners are in their heads a little bit, and there is some doubt with this team right now.
Absolutely. I agree with that. You could see from their reactions on the field. You can hear it in what they're saying after the game. They don't have anything they can grab onto like, well, the ball didn't bounce our way. They know that they got beaten soundly, and that's a tough thing to come to terms with. They know that they got out-coached, and they recognize, and they got time to pull it back together and turn it around. But to me, it's crystal clear. The 49ers feel like we knew we were going to do that, and the Cowboys are feeling like, we didn't think that was going to happen, and they're still not sure what happened.
Right.
And that'll put a dent in your confidence.
Right. And I'm listening to all the national shows talk about, you know, the play calling for the Cowboys, and this is something you talked about last week, the coaching mismatch. And so if you're Dak Prescott, if you're Pollard, if you're CeeDee Lamb, if you're that offense, how much trust do you have in Mike McCarthy, the play caller? You know, because – I watched the tape, you know, that ESPN was showing. I think it was yesterday. They did a whole segment on it. And just some of the decision-making, you know, whether it's on Dak not to check out of a play or it's on Mike McCarthy not to recognize the coverage, whatever it is, like, that's almost high school-level
Harry
football.
High school. Yeah.
You know, it's like, dude, you know, everybody's pressed up on you. They're playing at the line, you know. You're supposed to check into a quick slant or something like that. You know, instead they run it right up in the middle and get stopped at the line of scrimmage. And so, and let me ask you this, Whitey. If you're on the other side of the ball, let's say the defense is your strength. If you know that you can't count on your offense, how much doubt do you have in that?
Right.
Like, is Micah Parsons in the defense saying, man, we may have to, you know, hold a team to 10
points.
We're
going to be out here all day.
All day, exactly. And so they got some big issues, and it doesn't have to do just with that game against the Niners. Like, this is a big test for them. I want to see how they bounce back this week.
Yeah, that's a great point. I know, and I apologize. I got to look it up. I forget which member of the Green Bay defense it was, but one of them said after last night, after Green Bay lost to the Raiders, he said, we just can't give up touchdowns. And at first I thought, man, that's kind of a bitter thing to say, but he was serious. He was like, we have a young offense. They're not going to score a lot. We just can't give up any touchdowns. That was a hard game to watch, too, last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was tough. You know, my guy Jimmy G got the win, though.
He's a winner.
He is a winner,
he
man.
He finds a way to get it
All
done.
All he does is win games. How about Jimmy Garoppolo? Yeah, that, you know, two offensively challenged squads. I will say, and this is my bold take of the day, the Raiders are not out of it. I think the Raiders are poised to make some noise over the next 5 or 6 weeks, and here's why. Look at the games they lost. Sure, they got blasted by Buffalo, but they lost by 5 to the Steelers. They lost by 7 to the Chargers. Now they have the Patriots, who are a dumpster fire, the Bears, tough one at the Lions, but then the Giants, the Jets. So theoretically, on paper, you could argue that they would be favored in 4 out of their next 5 games. You could argue that. And so you rack up, you know, what are they now? 2-3?
Yes.
You can be 6-5 or 6-4 when it's all said and done after this next stretch of games. So that's why I'm not throwing dirt on the Raiders just yet.
I gotcha. They have probably the ability to kind of hang in there for a while. I think I'm a Bears believer now after what my
Are
Bears
you really?
Did last week, at least in terms of what they'll do against the Raiders. But I understand your point. It's just they need so many things to go their way to win these ugly games, ugly low-scoring games by, you know, a few points. It's just obviously not sustainable. But Green Bay, you look at their record, they're, what are they, 2-3 now? They're 2-3. They're terrible.
Yeah.
And they're probably – to me, the team that is the furthest removed from what we think of that team as being. You know, every NFL team, we have an idea what they are. The Packers, with their great quarterbacking, I think of the Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, they're not close to that team right now.
Right.
Yeah. Jordan Love, I think he had, what, 3 interceptions and no touchdowns? Aaron Rodgers never did that in his whole career. So, again, we keep saying this. There's a lot of teams in the NFL this year that are less than inspirational. I think both those teams that played last night are among those
teams. No, you're right about that. I agree. You know, I don't know how much we expected from the Packers. We expected them to look a little bit better than this. You know, I think the Bears are, you know, the Bears are just 1-4. I understand you're high on them now after, you know, a nice win.
Well, no, in the last one.
Right, exactly. One game winning streak going on. But, you know, when I look at a team that, you know, to me is, you know, farther away from what I thought they would be, I could argue, as I go through the list right here, you know, Cincinnati, you know, Baltimore, even though Baltimore is 3-2, I could argue, you know, I thought they would be contenders in the AFC. They just don't look good right now at all, you know, so that could be a team as well. You know, as I go down the list, Denver, you know, I thought Denver would be a little bit better. You
Everybody
bring in
did.
Sean Payton,
so did Sean
second
Payton.
Year Russell Wilson, you know, what we thought they might be. I'm not saying they would be a playoff contender, but, you know, they've been awful, you know, giving up 181 points, clearly the most in the league so far. Obviously, you know, that 70-point game, but they're probably farther away from where I thought they would be. I thought they'd be a little better than what they are.
Yeah, I think the networks also share your confusion. When we come right back, Kyle Shanahan was asked about something that we talked about yesterday. He's taken the high road on all the CMC cheap shots. That's next year. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Sacktown Sport. Kyle Shanahan yesterday addressed something that Kyle Draper and I were debating yesterday. Based on what Kyle Shanahan said yesterday, I'd have to say point Draper, but we'll look at the deeper meaning. Kyle, there's only so much he could say about this. We'll get back to that in just a moment. First, though, we have some interesting news today out of King's practice. Kyle, I know you saw it. Where are we with Sasha right
now? Our guy Frankie Carticelli, our King's insider, he's at practice today, and he talked to Mike Brown. And Mike Brown, according to Frankie, this is what Frankie just tweeted out. It sounds like Sasha is on the outside looking in regarding the rotation. Brown said he will be mixing up rotations in the coming preseason games and pointed to Vezinkov's defense as an area where he wants to see progress. And that, to me, is not surprising, but a little disappointing, if I will. Not surprised because Mike Brown's a defensive coach. We've seen Mike Brown give guys KZ Akpala, Kessler Edwards, guys that come over, because they're good at defense, they get it put in the starting lineup. We've seen guys left out of the rotation, Terrence Davis, who are questionable when it comes to defense. So we know Mike Brown prioritizes defense. But this is the reigning EuroLeague MVP. This is a guy coming over who, you know, is making his NBA debut. And now that I look back on it, I guess there was a reason why he didn't play in the first half the other night against the Raptors. He's not in that rotation just yet. I think that'll last a week, maybe two. I think he's too good of a shooter. I think he's too polished of a product. He's not a question mark. We know what he is. And so I don't think Mike Brown and the Kings organization puts the full court press to go get this guy to come over to the United States just so he can be left out of the rotation. I think it's a preseason thing, maybe a week or two, but Sasha's going to be in there. I'm a little disappointed, to be honest, because that's one of the things I'm looking forward to most to see tomorrow. More Sasha, extended minutes.
Yeah, that was, and I know I'm not alone, that was my first fear when we started talking about Sasha's coming over. Wow, defensively, can he hold his own, especially on this team? Here's my read on that, and you know Mike Brown better than most, certainly better than me. So you tell me what you think of this. To me, it suggests that there's something defensively. They know that Sasha's limited. You talked to Monty McNair. The Kings knew that. But for Mike Brown to come out publicly and state this, and for them to not have him in the rotation, there must be something about Sasha defensively that they want him to work on, that they feel he can improve upon by bringing the right amount of effort. Because they're not going to expect him to come over. You got to be Jrue Holiday. No.
Right.
So there must be something that they're trying to get him to start doing, right? Because otherwise, you don't want to humiliate a guy. I think it's a matter of, you want to play, you're going to have to start doing whatever it is they want him to start doing.
And I think you're spot on. When I watched Sasha the other day against the Raptors on a defensive end, I feel like he was sort of stuck in the mud, meaning he was ball watching. You know, I think he was late on rotations. And so I know for a fact that would drive Mike Brown crazy. That would be a major reason why you don't get playoff,
PT
playing time. And so that's what I saw the other day, in that Raptors game. And that's probably what Mike Brown wants him to work on. He has to be engaged. He has to be on the string. He has to be locked in, not necessarily as a lockdown defender, but you got to be in position. And I felt like he was out of position, maybe, stood around watching a little bit in that first preseason game.
Yeah, especially, again, on this team, not to belabor the point, but they already are behind the eight ball defensively. They can't have somebody coming in and then playing kind of, well, I'm the EuroLeague MVP. This is how I play. We can't do that. And I think it's an important message to send right now that, yeah, we spend a lot of money. You're one of our big acquisitions, but that doesn't mean we're going to play you if you don't defend.
Right. And I think it's Mike Brown sending the message early on. You know, it's like you said, this isn't the EuroLeague anymore. I know you're the MVP, but you earn your playing time by defense. And like you said, he doesn't have to be Drew Holiday, but we got to see the effort defensively out there. And I'm looking at the YouTube chat, and Cole G is spot on. He says, Sasha will have to improve on team D to get minutes. Should just take time. And that's what I was saying. That's what I saw the other night. I just think, his team defense, positioning, when to help, when to rotate. I thought that was a little late, a little delayed.
Yeah, you got to be in position to help. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that worries me, though. From a fan perspective, I want to see Sasha 20 minutes. I want to see him unleash, and to Cole's point, it's going to take some time. And so I know he's our new toy. I know he's the flashy thing everybody wants to see, including me. But right from out the jump, he may not get a whole lot of minutes. It may be 5 minutes. It may be 9 minutes one game. And so, we need to hold off, reserve judgment, if you will,
sure,
on the Sasha thing, because it's not going to happen overnight.
For Mike Brown to tell Frankie, to tell the media about this, to me it suggests that they are sending a message to Sasha. Otherwise, it's, he's good. He's just, getting his feet wet. To me, to go public with it is they want to make sure, hey, you got to do what we need you to do here, then we're good. But if you don't, you're not going to play.
Yeah, and I agree with you. But let me ask you this. Are there certain guys who are so talented offensively that defense, it's a liability, we get it, we still need you on the floor? Will Sasha develop into that guy, his shooting? Is his shooting and what he brings to this team so important that we might be able to overlook his defensive limitations?
I don't think the team's good enough to do that. Do you? When you look at some of the guys that Mike Brown has coached, the very best players he's coached, and I know we're talking about, like guys like Kobe. Kobe did it at both ends, right? And this team isn't that good that they can afford it. Yeah, you score, and then we'll cover for you defensively. This team can't afford that luxury.
Yeah, I agree with you. And here's the thing about Mike Brown that I respect. He's gone at De'Aaron Fox for Fox's defense. He's telling De'Aaron Fox, I want you to be better on defense. And De'Aaron Fox is the best player on the team. So with Sasha coming over, best believe he's going to go at Sasha and say, this dude needs to improve defensively, positioning, like I said before, rotations. And so I agree. This is Mike Brown's way of sending Sasha a message. You got to come over here and earn it, especially as great as the Kings were last season, as great as that offense is, they need to improve defensively. They improve defensively. They go from a 48-win team to a 52-win team, and now we're talking top three once again, Western Conference finalists and that kind of thing. And so I know for a fact Mike Brown is going to be harping on defense more so than last year. Like, that is his priority this training camp. And so we could talk about Sasha's three-point shooting and all that, but he has to give some effort defensively. He has to be better defensively.
Because realistically, that's the only way this team really gets better, is
right
at that end, right?
They're not going to be, how much better offensively can they get? It was, statistically the best offense, rating-wise in the history of the NBA. Mm-hmm. They could shoot the ball. They could finish in the paint. They, 2-point range, they were money as well. And so are we going to ask them to average 123 points per game? Probably not. But where they can make the biggest improvement is defensively.
Mm-hmm. When we come right back, as promised, Kyle Shanahan taking the high road on all those CMC cheap shots as the fines continue to mount with Kyle Draper, Kevin Gleason. Drive Guys, Sacktowns, mentioned that Frankie was at practice today, and he shared that Sasha's not currently in the rotation. Frankie's going to join us top of the hour here on the Drive Guys, so Frankie will let us know what's going on. And interesting, Kyle Draper here, and you're the one that pointed this out to me, but on the chat, from Patrick Donaldson, Luca Harden and Trey Young don't play D. Sasha needs to play. Come on, Patrick. Come on.
I hear you, Patrick, but you're talking multiple-time All-Stars, MVP candidates.
Ball-dominant point guards.
Ball-dominant point guards. You know, it's, yeah, I appreciate it, though. I do think if we're asking Sasha to be, you know, a plus, you know, defender, a guy that can lock down, you know, we may be asking too much, especially given how potent he is offense. But like we said, this is Mike Brown just telling Sasha, sending him a message. Hey, I need you to be better. That's it. I just need you to be better defensively. Yeah. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Nothing personal or anything like that.
We're not just looking at you to be a plus defender. That'd be great. But we can't afford to have you be a minus.
Right.
A big
right.
minus, because we're already struggling in that department. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think, who was it, Cole G is right.
That guy, Cole
Obviously,
G,
Obviously,
it's
a matter of Coach Brown saying, yeah, that's not how we play defense. He's not even paying attention to what he's doing defensively.
Yeah, so, and that's one thing to watch tomorrow.
Now, right. If you don't do it now, when are you going to do it?
I urge our listeners, when they watch the Kings tomorrow against the Lakers, I do believe that game is on NBA TV. Watch Sasha. Don't be mesmerized by the three-pointer. We know the guy. That's low-hanging fruit. We know he could do that. Watch him defensively, and I want to hear what you guys think about him defensively, you know, because that's how he's going to earn his time on this floor. We know how great offensively he can be. Let's see how he can improve defensively.
Are we going to see LeBron tomorrow?
LeBron James is out tomorrow. My guy, Brad Turner, who covers the Lakers for the LA Times, tweeted that out. Darvin Ham saying no LeBron tomorrow. So that's all right. I mean,
yeah.
You know what, Whitey? I'm just frustrated with the NBA right now. This schedule sucks. Let's call it what it is. You see the Lakers in the preseason. You see the Warriors twice in the preseason. And then you see them both in the first week of the season. And so does that, you know, take away some of the hype, some of the luster of it? Like,
maybe.
It, you know.
Do you think that's, are they saving money because it's regional? They don't travel as much?
Or, I have no idea why we see the Warriors four times in the first 2 weeks, you know, in the next 2-3 weeks. It's just, you know, and that to me, like, the hype, like, we see them Sunday at Golden One. I don't know. And then we see them twice. I don't know. I just don't like that. I'm looking forward to the rematch, but I want it to happen in the regular season, not twice in the preseason.
I got a different gripe. I'm no stranger, or at least when I was a kid, we used to go to preseason games. Sometimes those are the games that are easiest to go to.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing some great players play. And I just wish, I don't understand why a guy like LeBron, I know he needs rest, and I get it. It's a long season. But if it's an exhibition game and maybe there's somebody there that doesn't get to see him a lot, can he play half a quarter? I mean, isn't he going to, you know, he's going to work out at some point that day, isn't he?
I think, you know, to your point, didn't Luka do that today? They were playing Real Madrid and, you know, he used to play out there and he made a 5-minute, you know, appearance just to show up, you know, so the fans can say they see him, you know. But LeBron, what do you want from 38-year-old, almost 39-year-old LeBron? It's, you know, let me ask you this. When De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis sit out a game, they got a back-to-back coming up next week, I do believe. Is that okay?
Well, I just think it'd be nice if guys, unless they're just like home in bed all day doing nothing. If you're going to work out at all, why not get some run in the game? 5 minutes.
Those. From a fan.
Nice.
Yeah. Like you said, for those fans that can't afford the regular season tickets, you know, give them a show. I get it.
And I get it on both sides. But hey, you got to work out a little bit anyway, don't you? Here's what I'm worried about. And I know yesterday you kind of shot me down on this, Kyle. Christian McCaffrey has been on the receiving end of a lot of illegal hits lately. That's true. Past three games, he's yanked to the ground 3 times by his face mask, absorbed 2 illegal helmet-to-helmet hits, had an opponent taunt him while he was on the ground. So anyway, Seriously, McCaffrey was asked after the game, hey, are guys coming after you? He said, I don't know. Maybe. I have no idea. I don't know what's intentional and what's not. It's hard to tell when you're out there live. But Kyle Shanahan was asked about this yesterday. And when you think about it, what are you going to say as a coach? He said, I don't think teams are trying to hit him in the helmet or trying to face mask him. I think people are desperate on how to bring him down. Now, in the previous two games, Arizona's Ezekiel Turner and Jihad Ward of the Giants were fined for face mask penalties against McCaffrey. And I said, and you said, okay, we'll wait and see. I wouldn't be surprised if we see another fine on the Cowboys this week. Something I think is going on. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, this is terrible. They should stop this. I'm saying it's football. They better be careful because guys are trying to hurt him. It's pro football. That's what
right,
they do.
Yeah, right.
Because you can't stop him.
And when you hit the quarterback, you're trying to hurt him. No doubt about that.
Yes.
I agree with you on there, and I agree with what Kyle said. I don't think guys are trying to take cheap shots at Christian McCaffrey. That's what I wanted to say yesterday. Are they trying to knock him out the game? Heck yeah, because that would make the 49ers less of a team with no CMC. They're trying to win the game. But I don't think they're taking, you know, cheap shots. I will say, and I think Kyle brought this up or somebody else on the team brought this up, the way Christian McCaffrey runs, like he slams in there. Like he's not tiptoeing around. He's
True.
Delivering punishment.
True.
And so as a defender, how do you bring him down? I'm not saying you grab the face mask or any cheap shot or anything like that. But he is a load to bring down. And so sometimes the hand may get caught on the face mask. But I don't think there's any malicious intent. You know what? I'm gonna hit him below the knees. I'm going to go for the knee or anything like that. I just think it is football. The way CMC runs the football, that, you know, he wants to be physical. I'm going to be physical back with him.
Yep. I'll give you a great example of that. I think we saw one last night. But before that, here's what Kyle said to your point. He said, when you run that hard, guys are going to do whatever they can to get a guy down, and sometimes they grab onto the face mask. It was Green Bay to set up the field goal that put them ahead, and then ultimately they lost. Long pass downfield, and I forget the receiver, but he's running downfield, and he's about to score a touchdown, and Marcus Peters just grabs him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Grabs him by the horse collar, the collar, and yanks him down. Now, it's a penalty, but it's half the distance of the goal. It ends up being 4 yards,
yep.
Whatever. But you could see, he's like, he knew it's a penalty, but he had to stop.
You got
to
stop him from
That's
scoring.
That's the only way to stop him.
You got
to
stop him from scoring. And, you know, I'll make a basketball comparison here, if you will, Whitey. You know, when I played and I watched teams and everything, if the offensive guy is going to be physical, put his shoulder into you, push off, you got to allow the defense to do some things also. And so if they want to play big boy ball, physical, strong ball, I got to be allowed to do it also. And I think that's what's happening with CMC. The face mask, you know, the late hits, whatever. You know what? Fine them. Throw the flag. I get it. But I don't think there's, you know, a conspiracy to, you know what? I'm a take a cheap shot at this guy. I think CMC is a load. You know, when he hits you, you're going to feel it. So you got to do something back against him.
Now, when you played, did they have the hole cut out in the bottom of the peach basket yet? Or?
Hey, man, hey, you don't want to see the trophies up on 7361 Walnut Lane in Philadelphia,
okay.
Pennsylvania,
right.
Hanging in mom and dad's apartment and house right now. You don't want to see the trophies and the Letterman's jackets and all that. You're not ready for that.
I see you as kind of like a tizzy little jump hook in the post. Is that?
You know what move I perfected? And Kings fans will hate this. Like, I was a Magic Johnson fan growing up.
Sure.
That baby running hook he hit against the Celtics,
yeah.
I worked on that day in and day out. I had that thing down pat.
It's unstoppable.
It was just like I was back in the day. Unstoppable, right? But no, man, I like to say my game was more Anthony Mason.
Okay.
Like, you know, or Larry Johnson or something like that. I had the power game, but I could take you outside also.
Yeah.
Like so Victor Wembanyama.
You were a front court player?
Yeah, but that's because our team was undersized, you know? He had me at the 3-4. I should have been the 2, you know? But back then, I was like, you know, one of the taller guys on the team.
Yeah,
then.
If I had an NBA comp, it'd probably be the very pesky Scotty Brooks.
Scotty Brooks. People at home are like, what? Who?
Didn't
Scotty
he
Brooks?
He used to be an assistant coach for the Kings. You know, one time, I know no one cares, but my daughter was playing AAU ball in, like, Lompoc or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the Applebee's between games, and he's from that area. And in the Applebee's there's a shrine to Scotty
Brooks.
It's like, yeah, we're sitting here and go, oh my goodness, because he's from. So they had everywhere. It's just Scotty Brooks and all his high school stuff and pro stuff. It was incredible.
Former Philadelphia 76er Scotty Brooks. I know Scott Brooks very well. Yes.
Yeah, tip of the cap. Yeah. All due respect.
Who
yeah.
knew? A Scotty Brooks reference here on the Drive Guys. Interesting.
Donovan Wilson of the Cowboys, he is subject to a hefty fine for the helmet-to-helmet hit on McCaffrey. We'll see what the league decides to do. But, yeah, I think the bottom line is, guys, you're right. Guys, are first of all, he's hard to tackle. Second of all, guys know that, hey, this guy's scoring like four touchdowns a game.
Right.
We're not going to let him embarrass us. So bring him down. If we get a flag, oh, well, we have to stop him. I just think the 49ers have to be aware of that. And maybe you think twice before, you know, setting them up for five touchdowns next time you have that chance.
Yeah, and, you know, it's on the Niners to protect them, too.
Yes.
Like, you know, whether it's Shanahan, like you said, maybe, you know, calling off the dogs a little bit, or his teammates as well. Like, you
they
know,
got
he,
a little chippy. They got
that, exactly. Yeah. And that's how it should be. You want to hit our guy? Okay, we're not going to let that happen. We're going to hit your guy. That's what football is right now.
Yeah, when we come right back, we'll talk to Frankie Cardicelli.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Kings Insider. What's going on with Sasha? How come Sasha's not in the Kings rotation next? Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports.